taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello and welcome, everyday Americans. That's right, you've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could be here today, because sometimes you have to deal with difficult subjects. And today, well, today is one of those days. See, today I want to talk about slavery in America in the 21st century. No, I'm not talking about whips and chains, but slavery nonetheless. Slavery of the mind, slavery of the will. Merriam-Webster's defines slavery as a situation or practice in which people are entrapped, as by debt, and exploited. And if you think about America today, who's entrapped? Is it the people or is it the government? Who is in debt? Is it the people or is it the government? And who is exploited by that debt? Who's exploited by that power? Who's exploited by the money that is offered to them? Is it the people or is it the federal government? See, I contend that many of the American people, in fact, probably most, have been enslaved. They've been enslaved by false ideas, by propaganda, by rhetoric. They've been told that they don't have liberty. They're told they have liberty, but they're told they're not actually free. See, Merriam-Webster defined liberty as the quality or state of being free, the power to do as one pleases, freedom from physical restraint, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control, the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges. Summed up, the power of choice. And think about your life today. How many choices are made for you? How many times are you not allowed a choice? You know, people may be shocked. I've been around this globe for, many, many decades. And I never have truly had the choice, freedom of choice, about how to pay for my health care. It's always been controlled by someone else. When I was a child, it was controlled by my parents, obviously. But when I became old enough and of working age, it was controlled by my employer. And now that I am independent contractor, well, now it's controlled by the federal government that tells me what I must cover and what I must not cover, what I must pay for and what I must not pay for. So I'm enslaved to the federal government when it comes to how to pay for my health care. We don't think of things that way. But not only are there plenty of examples, I have a whole stack of examples here of the American people being enslaved by governments, both state and federal. But not only are those enslavements growing, they are growing faster and faster and faster. Now, what started me off was actually a report coming out of L.A. County. The Board of Supervisors of Los Angeles is planning a vote on a 3-year pilot program to provide $1,204 per month to 150 county residents aged 18 to 24. Now, they say that this money would go to these young people who are currently receiving general relief benefits and participate in the Department of Social Services Tapertunity or tax some program. You say, well, gee, Paul, wouldn't it be nice for them to have some means if they can't make money? Except, what is it? No one asks why they're getting this money. There's a saying I heard a while back, you know, why did the mouse get caught in the trap? Because he didn't know why the cheese was free. So here we have a city that says we're going to pay people a monthly stipend as long as they participate in some federal program, never realizing that when they take that money, they are now the servants, they are the slaves of the city of Los Angeles. How, Paul? Well, have you ever heard the saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune? See, if the city of Los Angeles actually enacts this, what happens when the city of Los Angeles decides to change the requirements for this program? See, it's the drug dealer model. You give them a free taste, then you have them hooked, then you can control them. So here we go. We'll give you $1,200 a month, and now we've got you. Oh, we want you to be part of this program, or we want you to not participate in that. Most importantly now, think of it this way. You go to the polls. Are you going to vote for the person that says, listen, that program's not good for people. We want to get rid of it. If you're on that program, are you going to vote for the person that questions the legitimacy of that program, the effectiveness of that program? Or are you going to vote for the person that promises to give you more of that program? Now, human nature says you're going to vote for more. You're going to vote for the person that promises to update it to, $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month or whatever. So you now control. Now, what happens when you, let's say, take money or a favor or a promise in order to influence your judgment? It's called a bribe. That's right. See, when someone turns around and says, yes, we will give you money if you do certain things, that's a bribe. Now, sure, we'd like to pick on the person offering the bribe, but the person accepting the bribe is just as guilty. See, this is how as Hayek said, the road to serfdom. It's the road to slavery. Now, interesting enough, we have examples of what happens here. Earlier this year, the federal government, completely illegally, by the way, started sending money to the states to offer unemployment additions, right? Some extra unemployment money for those poor people that those states had put out of work because they overreacted. It could just be that they had their own agenda. And now some of the states saying, we've noticed that there's a bad outcome to this, that if you pay people not to work, they don't work. This seems to be a surprise to many in government, but there are several states that are recognizing that part of the reason why unemployment is so low is there are people who simply say, why work? You're going to pay me not to work. Some of the reasons why there are so many help wanted signs are, if I'm going to make almost as much money sitting home eating Cheetos and playing video games, why should I go to a job that I don't like? But you see, this program is about slavery. And when I see this report that says thousands of Americans are filing lawsuits against their governors for ending the enhanced unemployment. See, that is a slave. That is a slave. He says, we've gotten this extra money. We're now dependent on this extra money. What do you mean that I have to be responsible for myself? No. You have to pay me my extra $300 a week. That's the mentality of a slave. Now, if that's what happens for $300 a week in extra unemployment, what happens when those 150 young people in Los Angeles get their $1,200 a month? Should LA decide that that is not a viable option, will they then sue to keep remaining enslaved? This is slavery, not simply of the body. This is slavery of the mind. This is slavery of the will. The very idea, your very right to choose is being threatened. And there are apparently hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans that are willing to sue to make sure they remain enslaved. Now, it isn't simply these new programs. These are the types of programs that have been going on for decades. Why do you think government provides childcare? Oh, but Paul, see, the working pea families, two income families, they have to have some place to go. And of course, the only people that can do it are the government. So you're dependent on government to take care of your children. See, it's bad enough that about age 5 or 6, we take our children, our most precious resource, and we hand them to government and say, you educate them. We don't care what you teach them. keep them busy, keep them out of our hair, teach them something so we can go do what we want. Not all parents do that. Not all parents are treating school as a daycare center, but a large percentage of them are. And a very, very, very small percentage of parents actually pay attention to what their children are being taught. Just look at the reaction when COVID hit and kids were now learning at home and parents could see what they're being taught. That just means that the slavery starts young. I mean, it's bad enough that they're starting to enslave our children at age 5. Now they want to enslave them at age 2. This is a lack of liberty. This is slavery. This is a control of the people, telling them what they can do, when they can do it, how they can do it. And I know of no other term to accurately describe it than slavery. Then, of course, last week we had the reports of the White House press secretary saying that the White House was flagging, quote-unquote, misinformation and asking Facebook to do something about it. The government in Washington, D.C., the White House, is working with Facebook to flag information they don't like about vaccines. Oh, I know they call it disinformation, misinformation, wrong information. However, they never seem to base that on anything evidentiary, no scientific data. No. They just say, we don't like it. We're going to tell you what you need to know. And we're going to work with third parties to suppress information we don't like, what they're calling problematic posts. You mean problematic posts, like when I point out that, what was it, 0.0005% of people infected are actually dying from COVID? Is that problematic post? I was kicked off of Facebook, I believe, because Facebook won't really tell me why, because I pointed out the unconstitutional actions of several states in the presidential election. See, then that's another way of enslaving the American people, by controlling not only what they can do, but what they can think, what information they're exposed to. And of course, it's not just the White House. Now, it's interesting that the Louisiana Senator John Kennedy has introduced a bill to limit protections for social media companies that leverage their data to promote divisive content. This is the other side of the coin. Oh, so if you promote information, if they promote information that the government thinks is divisive, we want to shut you down too. We want to take away your goody. Now, Section 230 is unconstitutional. You have a right under the First Amendment. Congress cannot make a law that deprives you of your right to petition the government for a redress of grievance, which is what Section 230 does. It doesn't say that you can't sue because of removing of illegal posts, incitement to illegal activity, anything like that. It says at the end that, basically anything you think might offend somebody, you're not protected from. See, that's the Congress has now illegally protected social media. And now they want to remove that if social media promotes information they don't like. Is that freedom? Is that liberty? Is that the ability to choose? See, that doesn't sound like the ability to choose. That doesn't sound like the power of choice to me. No. It certainly doesn't sound like the power to do as one pleases. No. If it's not what the government wants, you're not allowed to do that. It's not freedom from physical restraint. If they're going to take us to court if we post something we don't like. This is the arbitrary and despotic control that is the antithesis of liberty. It is the practice of entrapping people and exploiting them. This is slavery. I know we don't like using that word, We think slavery is a thing of the past, but it is not. Yes, the chattel slavery, the whips, the chains, they are no longer a part of America. Sadly, they are still part of the world, but they are no longer part of life in America. Now it's the slavery of the mind, the slavery of the will, the desire to control the actions of others and to punish people we disagree with. Freedom of speech is being taken away. Freedom of thought is right behind it. And again, it's not just the government. Society itself has lost its reverence for freedom of speech. I read this article in The Federalist. PayPal and the Anti-Defamation League have now announced a joint partnership that they want to use to help to investigate so-called extremist and hate movements and how they use financial platforms to fund their activities. Now, I've covered before how the Anti-Defamation League and others define hate movements, extremist movements. Almost always it's someone they disagree with. You talk about the Constitution, you're a hateful extremist. You believe in a biblical definition of marriage, you're a hateful extremist. You believe there's a biological difference between boys and girls, and you don't just flip around based on what you feel like that day. You're listed as a hateful extremist. And now PayPal and the Anti-Defamation League want to put teeth behind that. Remember I said freedom of thought is right behind it? See, it isn't just the government that's doing this. This is society as a whole. This is a breakdown of the American society, the American ideals. We now have people, and they just put in an ism or a phobia about something, right? So it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. Okay, I understand if you're talking about injuring people, if you're talking about hunting down the Jews or Muslims, that's bad. But when you're told that because you think BLM is a Marxist group because, well, in the original documents, that's what they call themselves. When you point out that BLM and Antifa are the organizations that are actually rioting, looting, stealing, destroying, well, you see, now you're anti-black. You're identified as a fascist. Which means PayPal can say, we don't want to do business with them. Now, PayPal's a private organization. They don't have to do business with anybody. But what does it say about the American society? Not just the government. The American people. When they look at this and say, yeah, that's okay. Put a name on them and we'll just, you know, we'll force them out of society. When disagreement is now targeted, politicized, and ostracized, when you're enslaved to a single point of view, that's not liberty. That's not freedom. That's not the freedom of choice. That is the bigotry, the hatefulness, the authoritarian, despotic, arbitrary control of others. And this is being done in society. And what are we going to do about it? That's an interesting question. See, when I read this, I used PayPal. I have to ask myself, do I still want to use PayPal? Do I still want to give them the fees for my transactions because they're apparently going to use that to shut me up? But Paul, you're not doing anything wrong. According to who? According to who? How long before pointing out that the government is to serve the people, not its master, is considered an anti-government extremist? People have already been referred to as insurrectionists for simply challenging an election where there's evidence of malfeasance, evidence of illegal, unconstitutional actions by the states. They are now considered by some to be insurrectionists. Isn't that a form of extremism? And according to Reuters, the initiative will focus on uncovering and disrupting the financial flows supporting white supremacists and anti-government organizations. Meaning those who disagree with what the government's doing. If you can be called an insurrectionist for challenging an election that violates the Constitution, now you can be ostracized. Now you can have your PayPal shut down. See, if you've got a business, right? It doesn't have to be full-time. Maybe you have a little side hustle. Maybe you do some work on the side. And PayPal says, well, you can't use us anymore because, well, you told us that the Constitution said we couldn't do that. You told the government that the Constitution said you couldn't do that. That makes you an anti-government organization. You're enslaved. You're enslaved to PayPal. We don't like those words, but can you think of a better way of describing what is going on? How about the Georgia officials who are making excuses for the residents who illegally voted in the 2020 election? Does that mean because I talk about the evidence that more than 10,000 Georgians may have voted illegally, does that make me an anti-government extremist and thereby ready to be attacked by the ADL and PayPal? Am I to be identified, segregated, and punished for pointing out facts that are inconvenient? How can I be free? How can you be free if you're told what you are and are not allowed to communicate without social punishment? Or what about the county in Pennsylvania that allowed an audit of their vote counting machines? Well, gee, what's wrong with that, Paul? Well, the Pennsylvania Department of State decertified Fulton County's voting machines on Wednesday after they participated in a third-party audit. This county said, hey, you know, we have some questions about these voting machines. Let's audit them. Let's get them audited. We've got a third party that's going to double check to make sure our election is accurate. And now the state of Pennsylvania is punishing them for that. Why? How free are the citizens of Fulton County? How trusting can they be in the accuracy of their election when third-party audits lead to punishment? And for all the other counties in Pennsylvania who may be saying, you know what, there may be a problem, but if we actually let them get audited, we could be punished as well. That's not liberty. That's not freedom. That is tyranny. That is enslaving. That is the practice in which people are entrapped and exploited. The people of Fulton County have been entrapped by their state. What do we do now? What if we find that the people in Georgia, hey, 10,000, potentially 10,000 people voted illegally? Are we going to be punished for pointing that out and trying to fix it? We already have states that are trying to fix issues that have been exposed in their voting systems, in their election processes, that are being sued and bullied into complying with what one political party wants. I'm working on an article about the case of Brnovich versus the Democratic National Committee, where the committee said that two of Arizona's voting laws violated the Voting Rights Act. How are you free when your vote is not controlled by you, but by someone else? When your county and your state are not in control of the election process, how free are you? And this, my friends, is just the tip of the iceberg. There is much, much, much more. But I got to take a break. So before I do that, I want to remind you about HealthyCell.com and their upgraded vitamins. Forget the pills. Take a nice travel-ready gel pack with you. Take it simply and easily. Feed your body the vitamins that it needs to keep it healthy at a cellular level. Try the Immune Super Boost. If you're like me, sometimes you're traveling or you're involved in things. I mean, it's vacation season, it's fair season, and you're out and about with a bunch of people, and sometimes you pick up the crud. Well, Immune Super Boost helps your body fight that off. It supports your immune system while you're on the go with a simple travel-ready gel pack. It's worked well for me. I know it'll work well for you. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can go to healthycell.com/outloud and get 20% off your first order. You can try any of their products, any of their vitamins. But today I'm recommending the Immune Super Boost, especially if you're out and about and traveling, just to avoid that post-vacation, post-trip, post-conference crud. So again, go to healthycell.com/outloud and give it a try. It's worked for me. I'm sure it'll work for you.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hail, my fellow Americans. How did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference. It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. We are reading and studying slavery. The fact that slavery of the mind is now, it's become commonplace in America, and the American people are actually begging for more. But let's start with some others. We've already talked about some of the stuff with controlling, you know, making you dependent on the government for your income. Dealing with whether it's a universal basic income or the unemployment benefits. We've talked about dependency on childcare, on the government controlling what you can see, what you can hear through their attempts to deal with quote-unquote disinformation. How this is not simply a government, but it's a societal issue. When we see PayPal, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, that are more than interested in keeping from you information they find inconvenient. And we've also talked about what's going on in a couple of the states and dealing with their voting. But let's go back to the federal government. Now, for those of you who don't remember, there was a demonstration on January 6th at the Capitol. Why was there a demonstration? Well, several of the states illegally changed the manner of appointing electors for president of the United States. This should not be questioned, not because I say it, but because there's evidence. The Constitution says that the legislatures of the states determine the manner of appointing electors, not their executive branch, not their courts, the legislature. So when several states, including Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, I'm drawing blank on some of the others, when courts ordered changing the election laws, when executive branches, members of the executive branch either changed or allowed to be changed those laws outside of the legislature, those presidential electors were no longer legally appointed. So men and women joined on January 6th to urge their representatives to not count the votes from states who had illegally appointed electors. Makes sense to me. Now, during this, there were several people that entered the Capitol, and everybody has been all bent out of shape. It's been called an insurrection. It's been called a riot. It's been called a lot of things. You know what people don't realize? One, there's video of the Capitol Police talking with the demonstrators, allowing them in under certain conditions. That's not insurrection. Demanding they that the representatives of the people follow the supreme law of the land is not an insurrection. But you see, Nancy Pelosi has been pushing hard for a commission to look into what happened at the Capitol. Now, I'm not going to try to read Nancy Pelosi's mind. I think that'd be quite disturbing, actually. But there are certain things that she has done that kind of gives you a clue as to what this is about. Now, she claims this is going to be a bipartisan commission. So she is appointing people, and the minority leader suggested several people that he thought would be good for this commission. So minority leader Kevin McCarthy, he recommended Jim Jordan and Jim Banks for the House Select Committee, which Ms. Pelosi summarily dismissed. Nope, we don't want them. What do we want? She went and chose her own Republicans. Now, I know there's a definition of bipartisan where you've got members from both parties, but if one party, if one person is choosing the members of this commission, that's not truly bipartisan. It certainly is not fair. It certainly is not due process. Even in a court of law, the defense has the opportunity to challenge the jury members, the appointment of specific jury members. Ms. Pelosi is not allowing that. She is ruling on high. This is a kangaroo commission. I don't care what comes out of this commission. Good, bad, ugly. You know, pro the demonstrators, against the demonstrators, it doesn't matter. This is a kangaroo court. This really is no different than, I mean, the decision has already been made. All they're doing is making it look good. And if your future is determined not by a court of law, not by a jury of your peers, but is influenced by the political machinations of an individual, you're not free. You're not. Now, Ms. Pelosi cannot arrest somebody and send them to jail, but her commission can certainly influence the cases quite prejudicially against those who demonstrated against the theft of their votes. That's what the January 6th. Now, did some people get out of hand? It does appear so. And they should be punished for the actions that they took. If the Capitol Police said, sure, come on in as long as you don't, you know, break anything or hurt anyone, you cannot be charged with trespassing if you were invited in. You cannot be, you know, the very idea that the Capitol is a restricted location anyway is questionable. It's public property. I know they're terrified that someone might come in and disturb their, you know, three martini lunch, but that is public property, and you are public servants. But the very idea that following the directions of the U.S. Capitol Police now brings you up for charges, well, that's not freedom. That's not liberty. Sounds more like enslavement to me. Especially when you realize that there were actual riots in D.C. only a few months before. Buildings were burned. People were attacked. Property and people and property was damaged. People were damaged. Funny, I don't see any special commission coming out of the House for what was allowed to happen in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, is a federal district. It is legislated. The legislature for D.C. is Congress. Why not? Well, you see, because you're not free. You're only free to demonstrate if it's one-sided. If you demonstrate for Marxist Democrat National Committee, you know, destroy liberty and freedom, then you're left alone. If you question. What those in D.C. are doing, if you come to petition them in person, you can be held liable. Again, this is not new. This is just the latest escalation. As we find from the testimony of a Maureen Reardon. Now, she was a career attorney. She served in the voting section of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. She now is an attorney for a public interest law firm, and she recounted multiple instances of political machinations in the application of voting law. She exposed improper partisan behavior that she personally witnessed throughout her career, going all the way back to the 2000 presidential recount in Florida. And these are the people that we want to put in charge of our voting system. So that's what H.R. 1 would have done. That's what H.R. 4 would do if it goes through. To put the very system that we now have evidence manipulates the election, to put them in charge of elections at all levels. Not just for federal offices, but for state offices as well. Not directly, but by extension. How free are you when those in power get to dictate to you who and how, who's allowed to vote and how? People that, departments that have shown a history of partisan manipulation of the system. When Reardon talks about how during the 2000 presidential recount in Florida, voting section staff members strategized with the Democratic Party. In 2009, they objected to a voting change in Kingston, North Carolina that would have removed party designation from the ballot. In other words, you can vote for the person, but they wouldn't list the party because they said it was racist to not tell what? To tell blacks who to vote for? She goes on and on. How free are you when the government tells you that we have the power to tell you to control how you vote. How free are you when the Supreme Court of the United States effectively decides that you as a Christian cannot run your flower shop in keeping with your faith? And by the way, if they can do it to the Christian, they can do it to the Jew, they can do it to the Muslim. But even though the law says that Congress can make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion, what good is it if the people that are there to decide these cases don't do their job? When those who write the laws ignore the supreme law of the land, when those who execute the laws ignore the supreme law of the land, and when those who judge in cases ignore the supreme law of the land. Are you a slave now to the opinions of others because they have assumed, they have claimed the authority to tell you how you can run your business? Are you free when a single person can sue you because they don't like the way you run your business and they win? Not that you've hurt them, not that you've taken anything from them. They just don't like the way you do your business. Are you free when your government is getting millions of dollars from the federal government to run their state? Michigan Governor Whitmer got a $10 million grant from the federal government to expand apprenticeship efforts. In other words, to open up some employment opportunities. Now, we the people have told the federal government they have no legal authority to get involved in employment. None. Doesn't exist. It was not granted to them in the Constitution of the United States, and the 10th Amendment says then that specifically remains with the state unless it's been denied to the state, but they still do it. So now you have a state that is further enslaved by the federal government. It has accepted a $10 million bribe from the federal government. But we're supposed to say it's okay because, well, they're using it for a good cause. Does anybody remember how often the federal government has threatened to remove such funding if you don't do what they want? If you don't let boys into the girls' room? If you don't deny due process to those accused of a sexual assault? See, they're not free anymore. Our states have sold themselves into slavery, and we've let them. We've let them. Or the mother in Rhode Island that was sued because she dared to find out what the school districts were teaching her children. See, she began filing record requests with the South Kingston School District months ago. She had heard that the teachers were incorporating critical race theory and gender ideology in the curriculum, and she wanted to know what was going on. But being a fairly intelligent person, she didn't just want to go based on rumor. She wanted the facts. So she said, okay, this is a public school. I'm a part of the public. I want this data. Next thing she knows, she's being sued for asking the school district to tell her what they're teaching her children. Who's in charge? Is it the parent or is it the government? Are you free if the government can tell you whether or not you are allowed to know what they're teaching your children? Are you free? Are your children free? If no one can challenge the government-run school and what they're teaching them. Doesn't sound like they're free to me. And then you have the fourth grader in Minnesota who was told not to tell her parents about the equity survey her and her classmates were instructed to take at the school. Yeah, they did an equity survey and the teachers told the students, apparently teachers told the students, not to let their parents know, to keep a secret from their parents. Are you free? Are you? Now, whether you agree with the equity survey or not, is it right for the government to hide from the parents what they're teaching their students? Only if the government owns the students. If the children belong to the government, that's the only logical reason why the government can determine not only what they are taught, but who gets to know about it. That's not freedom. That's no different than a slave in the South that was told whether or not their child could be taught to read. But it happens today. And it's still happening today. And no one seems to do anything about it. Are you free in Portland when the mayor announces that law enforcement will no longer enforce all the laws? That they've been told to not deal with, to basically to stand down with low-level things like, oh, traffic infringements, broken headlights, expired plates, unless the officer determines there's a threat. See, now, whether or not those should be crimes is a whole nother question. My point is, when you only get charged with a crime if the officer thinks about it, if the officer thinks it's right, where's the rule of law? Where's equal protection under the law? You're telling me that I can drive through a town and I'm fine. Another person with a car with the exact same problem, an officer can say, nope, we're going to issue you a citation because I think there's a threat. Take this to the extreme in California, in LA, where you can steal, what, up $800 and not be charged? Are you free? Are your rights being protected by government? That's the purpose of the Declaration of Independence, is governments are instituted among men to preserve rights. What about your right to property? Are you free when the government gets to determine what it will and will not enforce? Are they exercising a just power when we didn't tell them they got to choose? We tell them the legislature makes the laws. Your job is to enforce the law, not to play judge and jury, but to enforce the law. Are you free when your public servants don't do their job? California has enough problems. Now, you understand, California has some of the toughest gun control laws in the country. Yet despite that, the Biden administration wants to launch a task force, a strike force, to get more guns out of LA. I don't know about you, but when I hear about a strike force, that seems to be men and women with guns coming to take guns away from the citizens of Los Angeles. I seem to remember that happening back in Lexington Concord back in 1775. I seem to remember a battle of Lexington and Concord because the British were coming to take away the ammunition of the colonists. I seem to remember that sparking a war. See, are you free when the government can ignore the law, the supreme law of the land, and not only have a state infringe on your right to keep and bear arms, but have the federal government send armed troops to come enforce that law? Does that sound like a free country? Or does that sound like North Korea? Well, how about this report from the Tennessee Star? See, during a Take Back Pride march, Black Lives Matter activists are reported to have blocked Minneapolis City Council member Andrea Jenkins' vehicle in the street. Now, there's apparently video of them screaming at Jenkins and other white women with her. It reported that she spent over two hours in her car surrounded by activists. How free was she? Now, according to some reports, during this interaction, activists actually forced Jenkins to sign a statement saying that the charges against alleged rioters would be dropped before they'd let her drive away. city council member stopped in the street. Where were the police enforcing the law? Yelled at, screamed at, that's fine. That's part of the job. Being forced to sign, to basically issue a, I guess it's not a legal pardon, but a statement that they would, that any charge would be dropped. Well, if there are charges to be dropped, they must have been, they were charged with something, right? They were charged with violating the law. I believe illegal detention is a law. And they got her, they intimidated her into signing the document. How free are you? How free are you when mobs in the street can stop you, can prevent, can take away your liberty, can intimidate you, can bully you, can threaten you until you submit to their demands? Isn't that a form of kidnapping? Isn't that exactly what happened during the Cultural Revolution of Mao in China, where people were taken out, they were humiliated, they were beaten, they were yelled at until they gave up and submitted to someone else's whim? Does that sound like freedom and liberty? Or does that sound like a slave? And by the way, yes, okay, where were the police? Where were her neighbors? Where? Or the bill in Ohio, by the way, that Republicans call an effort to protect law enforcement. Basically, they want to give special protections to law enforcement by expanding the definition of obstruction of justice. See, according to this bill, if you do not follow a lawful order, that's obstruction of justice. All right, I want time out just a second here. Law enforcement are not rulers. They are not superior to the people. They are there to serve the people. Now, if you want to talk about, they were talking about throwing objects and inhibiting or depriving law enforcement of control over a detainee. Okay, maybe. But when suddenly whatever an officer says must be followed or you will be charged, you are not free. You are a slave. And the law enforcement, the government in the form of law enforcement is just the massa. The foreman with the whip. In this case, with the handcuffs. Does that sound like freedom? See, all of these have something in common. Even the fact that YouTube removed President Trump's press conference announcing his lawsuit against YouTube. See, it's all about controlling you, controlling what you see, controlling what you hear, controlling what you think, controlling what you can do. Being under control is slavery. I know we like to put euphemisms on it. We like to call it different things, but it is being entrapped and exploited. In fact, many of these are being done by government, meaning it's being done by force. The government is trying to force servitude on you. And what do you do? Well, the first thing you have to recognize is that these are all violating your rights. As John Jay said, by knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. Government is no longer protecting our rights. Therefore, we need to stop depending on government to protect us. I'm not saying we're ready to fight government, but I'm certainly ready to not help them. And there may come a day when we have to fight against what they are doing. I'm not saying that day is today. What I am saying is that government is showing itself to be a tyrant. And the American people have let them go for so long. The tyranny is becoming unbearable. And I'm wondering if and when the American people will wake up. If and when they will do something. As was said in the Declaration of Independence, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light or transient causes. But it goes on to say, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the object evidence of design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now, we have one gigantic advantage over the men in 1776. We don't have to throw out the government. We just have to throw out the men and women who are perverting the government. We don't want to overthrow the Constitution. We want to overthrow the men that are corrupting and perverting the Constitution. But we need to stop waiting and hoping that somebody will do it, that some political actor, some president, some partisan, some party will somehow magically restore liberty and justice to all. We have to do it. And it starts by knowing our rights. I'm about to head out on the first leg of my tour, helping people to read and study the Constitution, to know their rights, and how to defend and assert them. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. If I'm coming near you, I hope you'll join me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to talk with you, and I'd love to answer your questions. If I'm not coming near you, go to the bottom of the page, ask that I do. I don't charge for this. Most places have been nice enough to put me up in a hotel for the night, but I don't charge people. It's that important. And it's the first step to becoming, again, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And if you won't do it for yourself, what about your children? Will you do it for your children? Will you do it so they don't have to be indoctrinated by government propaganda? So that they can live free. With freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom from unreasonable search and seizure. Oh, you condemn them to utter despotism and servitude because you were unwilling to stand up when the battle could be fought at the ballot box, and thereby condemn them to fight the battle on the battlefield. Now you can find out more about my show, get the latest podcast, if you go to the menu under AmericaOutloud.com. You'll find the Constitution Study and much, much more.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.